Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A holy God once spoke from a mountain in Sinai, saying, "Stay away." Thanks to Jesus, our intercessor, we can now come with confidence before the throne of grace to receive His mercy. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the inheritance of the redeemed, gifts given to every believer in Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 for some final thoughts on the gift of an intercessor.
And God is there for us, not by delivering us from our many trials, but saying, "You can be faithful in the midst of those trials, because I will grant you grace. And when you sin, you have mercy," because we come now to the mercy seat. This isn't just an experience of some high priest in the Old Testament who went in one day a year. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was, of course, rent from top to bottom, proving that God did it. And he now says, "Come, come to the Holy of Holies." And you come and you'll receive mercy and you'll receive grace to help in time of need. Have you come recently? Or you just kind of throw up the prayers to God, not knowing whether or not he's going to hear them? The text says we come with confidence. And we have this confidence because we are sure that we are heard because of our intercessor, and we're coming in his name and for the glory of God. Your cry to God is heard. We come with confidence because of Jesus Christ. It is worth it all. So first of all, we have access. Secondly, we have an advocate. As I say, advocate, intercessor. Now, your Bibles are open to chapter 7. Have you enjoyed going back and forth, or are you on your phone a little bit confused? You'll notice it says, as we talk about this, in verse 24, "But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever." Jesus isn't, yes, he died, but he was raised again, and he permanently, by the way, is going to be a man in heaven forever. We'll see the nail prints. "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." That word "uttermost" can be translated, "he saves completely" or "he saves eternally." Either way, it's completely true. He is really able to be an effective Savior because he died and he makes intercession. And I'm speaking to people today that if you were honest about your background and what you've done, you know that you've done some pretty terrible things. God, through Christ, is able to save you completely and eternally. And the depth of your sin is not a barrier to his grace and his ability to save. He can save the vilest of sinners if they believe on him. So let that invitation be to you, no matter where you are, and accept Christ as your Redeemer. Now, what does it mean to us to have an intercessor? I'm going to tell you the story of a pastor. Of course, it's a true story. He told it in a meeting, and I asked him for a copy of his notes at this point. I'm going to be reading and paraphrasing his experience. Listen carefully. I'm not giving you his name, but he says, "Several months ago, I made a trip to Dallas. And while I was there, I attended the opening day for a trial of a friend of mine. He'd been a friend for 12 years. His pastor led him to faith in Christ. But there was a side to his life he could not walk away from, and it caught up with him. I was sitting in the courtroom when an attorney came over to me and asked whether I would be a character witness for him. And I said, yes, I would do whatever I could. Well, there was a turn in the case, and tapes were exposed, and they exposed a part of his life that no one knew about. And now they called because they were desperate for me to be a character witness. All of his other friends had stepped away, but I'd given my word. I was struggling. I got mad, fussed for 2 days at my wife. I was torn about keeping my word and, on the other hand, looking like an idiot speaking for the guy's character when it was all on tape and he was of questionable character. I was on the phone the night before at 11 in the evening with their lawyers, that is the man and his wife, and they insisted that I come. So I got up and was at the airport by 5 o'clock in the morning to fly to Dallas. I got to the Dallas airport or the Dallas courthouse and rode up the elevator and went through the sensors into the courtroom when the guy behind the counter said, "The trial is over. It's been rested. It's finished." He said, "I was fit to be tied." Here I'd come all of this way to keep my word and embarrass myself, and now the whole trip was for nothing. You know, I'd lost a day or more. I met with a couple trying to hide how upset I was and left the airport to catch the next flight back home. I was furious. Now, I'm going to warn you that this ends with the pastor weeping in an aisle seat on American Airlines. I'm warning you because when I heard him tell the story, I know I couldn't hold back the tears, and it's okay, you know, to cry once in a while. So maybe I will, maybe you will, I don't know. But let's continue the story. I was furious, but sitting in that aisle seat on American Airlines at 34,000 feet, God spoke to me. This is what God said to him. "You know, you're pretty mad, aren't you?" "Yeah, I have a right to be." "Just want you to know that God is speaking. One day you are going to be standing in a much bigger courtroom. And I am going to be your judge. And I've got tapes on you. As a matter of fact, I've got a pack of DVDs and they are all on HD. Everything you have ever done, everything that you have ever said, public, private, I've got it all." "When you stand before me, would you want somebody to speak up on your behalf? Would you want somebody to plead your case in my presence?" The pastor said, "By now, I was in a puddle of goo in that airline seat. I couldn't even respond to God. I was so ashamed of myself." And God continued to say, "And look at how good I am to you. I allowed you to go to Dallas to keep your word and then kept you from getting on a stand and embarrassing yourself. And now look at how mad you are." Let me ask you, when you're standing before God and the tapes are rolling, would you want Jesus there to defend you? I sure do. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, and is even now on the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'm glad that when I die, I'm going to have a character witness who's going to say it's all true, but because of my death and because of the blood that I shed, he is acquitted." Don't you want an intercessor like that? "Dearly beloved, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Charles Wesley wrote, "Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him. Oh, forgive," they cry, "nor let that ransomed sinner die." The Father hears him pray, his dearest anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. It's all because of Jesus, our advocate for sinners who receive him. Have you received him? Somebody here in the front said yes. A couple of others, have you received him? You can clap if you have. I'm glad that when I stand before God, I have an advocate with the Father who's going to plead my case. Father, we pray that you might save those who need to be saved. Show them their sin. Show them, Father, why they need an advocate. Show them why they need a Savior. Show them why Jesus is the only one qualified to be that advocate. Because he is sinless, he is sympathetic, he is sacrificial, and he is seated there on our behalf. We ask, Lord, work in people's hearts. And if you've never received Christ as Savior, you could do that even now. If God has talked to you and you say, yes, I want Christ as my Savior, as my advocate, because I know he's got the tapes. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is such a friend. Amen. And my friend today, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know that you have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who pleads your case because you've never received him, would you receive him as Savior right now? You may be driving a car, you may be in an office. I don't know where you are listening to this. But I do know that the Holy Spirit of God works in people's hearts, and he may be working in your heart, drawing you to simple faith in Jesus, the one who died for us and pleads our case before the Father. And if you've made that decision, or if running to win is a blessing to you, would you connect with us? This is Pastor Lutzer inviting you to come to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. And there you will find a contact button. Click on that. Let us know what a blessing we have been. That's our desire, is that we do indeed bless you, and what an encouragement it would be for us to hear from you. And thank you for the many of you who pray for us. We are dependent upon your prayers. We're dependent upon your gifts so that we can get this message of redemption to as many people as we possibly can. We have a wonderful Savior, and he's great for great sinners.
Many Christians debate the issue of eternal security. Can someone who has been saved ever be lost? Next time on Running to Win, a look at the words of Jesus about his role as the Good Shepherd and the security this brings. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.